Okay, so we left off with in the next section of the Mishra Din. We left off with the Gemara in Bava Metzia Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay, and this is the most complex Gemara because a lot of variables here. All right, so let's start from the beginning. So the Gemara says on Lamed Amud Aleph Bava Metzia, it says that the Mishnah told us if you find, let's say, a box, right, in Machane Yehuda, right, so you don't have to pick it up. Right, because what are you going to say by a box? You'll say by a box that a guy, if I knew my box was lost there, I wouldn't care about it, or I don't pick up boxes in general, so I'm not going to pick up this guy's box. If I find an empty cardboard box, I'm off the hook. So just to sum up, the Gemara says that we learn this out Vissalamta, okay? What does Vissalamta mean? And remember, this is without understanding this point, I don't think you can understand the sugya. There's two halachas by Shabbos Aveda, right? There's Vissalamta, which is, I cannot turn away, right? Like walk by, right? Meaning I must engage in said object. And then once I engage in said object, what's the next step? The positive commandment of returning it. Okay. So the Torah says, v'hissalamta mehem. Sometimes you will turn away, sometimes you won't. That's the implication. One second. So when would you be able to turn away? The Gemara constructs three scenarios, okay? A Kohen turning away from a lost object in the cemetery. And then I'm going out of order here, but simplest way. The Gemara says, of course, that's pshita. You don't need the Torah to teach that to you. Of course, a Kohen cannot go into Beis HaKvaros to do a Shavas Aveda. The other case is, let's say, I'm not getting into this, I don't care about the lachas about this, but if you're going to suffer a tremendous financial harm in returning the object, that's also Pshita. We don't want someone to become poor. So what's the case? The case is by a Zaken, okay? A Zaken slash Chacham, we'll go into a little more details about this, but a Zaken slash Chacham, that it is below his stature, his kavod, to pick up such an object. So the case we used, what was the object we used? A comic book, okay? A Pokemon card. So the Chacham will never, ever, ever pick up a Pokemon card. Now, it's not because he's like a snobby guy. It's that, it's like beneath his stature. Again, you wouldn't say that like a wealthy guy. Also, there's certain things if you come across in the street, he won't pick up. Let's say if a wealthy guy saw one of those rings with the candy thing on it, I don't think he'd pick it up. I'm just saying the idea of picking up something that's of a stature and picking up something because it's below your stature, avoiding it, does exist. We understand that, okay? So the Gemara says that's the case, that a Chacham, right, is not required to pick up something that is below his stature. And if you saw the Rambam, right, what is the Rambam saying? Zelo Vaveda Perak Aleph Halacha Yugimel. He says, Matzah Sok Okupa, right, if you find like a box, Im Haya Chacham O Zakei Mechubad, right, if he's a sage or he's a respected elderly man, she'ein darko litol kelim elo biyado, he normally would never pick up such an object. Eino chayv lehitapo b'hen, he doesn't have to treat with these. The omen is daito, and what does he do? He actually does a subjective calculation. Ilu hayu shelo, imaya magzirin la'atzmo, kachay v'hachzer shel chavero, v'imlo haya mochal kvodo, right, afilu hayu shelo, kach v'shel chavero, eino chayv l'hachzer. Okay? So the Rambam makes it clear, this is a completely and utterly subjective idea. Completely subjective. The Chacham has to know, you cannot, if Sean's a Chacham and Gano's a Chacham, it could be that Sean would hold for him, picking up the comic book is fine, and for Gano, no. Okay? It is completely subjective. All right?
The issue is it's fine versus...
So you see, there's, and again, it harks right back, I'm not trying to answer it, but you see it harks right back to that Rambam, right? You see there's two issues here. Is it how the Chacham is perceived, right? That's one angle. Or is it an internal thing, right? There is an internal thing. A person has a certain self-worth and self-respect, and to be involved in something that's demeaning to him is something to take into account. Is that, we don't trivialize that. But also, there's the fact if Gladstein's a Chacham and he's walking around with that Pokemon card, what is that? I mean, what's that going to say about Sfardi Rabbanim if he's walking around with that Pokemon thing? Oh, so the first thing to define is that idea. All right. Now we'll take up the Isser question in a second. Okay. Let me just do all the facts and come back to how the Rishonim start picking apart this a little bit. Then the Gemara says, "What happened? Abaye, right? Threw a rock at these sheep." Okay, the sheep are wandering in the desert, and he throws a rock at the sheep. All right? So what happens? So Rabba comes to him and says, guess what? Since you did that, what do you have to do? You have to complete a Shavas Aveda. Now, one second. Of course, we asked, what was Abaye's Havamina? Why did Abaye think, after throwing the stone, he wouldn't have to do it? And what's Rabba's Chiddush that he would have to do it? Then the Gemara says, Ibailahu. Okay? Darko lahachzir basada, vein darko lahachzir ba'ir. Okay? So, mahu. All right. So, if you found a field object, and this goes to his external, if you found an object in a field, right, and you know it belonged to a field guy, so Gladstein can return it because he's not worried about anyone seeing him, right? But if it's a city object, Gladstein wouldn't return it because people will see him. Of course, the case is, what if he found something in the field that's going to belong to a guy in the city? Okay, does he engage in a Shavas Aveda or not? And the Gemara goes with each side. Or it says, maybe he'll say, since in the end of the day he's in the city, he will never return it, he's Pater. Or do we say no? Do we say that since it's he's in a field and the Chiyav exists in the field, he's Chayav? Okay? And then finally, the Gemara ends. Oh, sorry. Then the Gemara switches over to Prika and Te'ina. Okay, that whatever applies by the Chacham to Hashavas Aveda will apply to Prika and Te'ina as well. Okay, so the same Zilzal issues that apply to Hashavas Aveda apply to Prika and Te'ina as well. Okay? And then comes the story. That's the hard part. Rabbi Shmuel is hanging out. Zifkin comes walking over with this big load of wooden planks. Rabbi Shmuel, being both wealthy and a chacham, what does he say? It's clear he would never even be involved. He's putter. He's putter. I mean, the Rambam says in Halacha Yadalan, right? If you find a, I'm sorry, it doesn't say there. Excuse me, forget that. But you're putter. You're putter from doing it's in Ratzeach, but you're putter from it because it's beneath his dignity to help out carrying the wood. So what does Rabbi Shmuel do? He asks the guy, how much is it worth? The guy says, $500. He gives him $500, and he mafkirs the wood. Of course, and why is he mafkiring it? Because he doesn't want to carry it, because it's beneath his covenant. And then the guy says, okay, that's mine now, right? Can you please help me carry this? And Rabbi Shmuel says, how much is it worth? They go through the same song and dance again. And the third time, he mafkirs it to everyone except for him. The Gemara says, how can that be? Blah, blah, blah. But the Gemara ends up by saying, how could Rabbi Shmuel do this? Because Rabbi Shmuel was doing with Nimbus Shurasadin. And that raises some serious questions. Why didn't Rabbi Shmuel just go ahead and do what? Pick up the wooden planks? Why did he have to go through this whole charade to get to that point? All right, so let's understand. In other words, let's get a little more detailed now. Let's just start with the original point. Okay, so someone to learn it's only a chacham. Okay, now if it's only a chacham, what's the address of the problem there? What's the address of the problem? Zilzal of Torah. Okay. Meaning, one way to set up the counterbalance is to say, well, we have, okay, if I wanted to categorize Hashavas Aveda is a ben adam lechavero, kavod abrios, right, bringing people together kind of thing, right? So if it's purely chacham, what you would say is you have to weigh out his zilzal of Torah against this. But what about if he's a zakin? Right, I mean, the Rambam says, not just a chacham, but zakin mechubad. That's not Torah anymore. So why would we even take that into account? I ask. You're missing what I'm asking. I can understand clearly. It will make sense to say why you have to weigh out Zilzal Torah against a Shavas Aveda. I get that. Because you could say, you see clearly, I mean, we can argue why you go one way or the other, but I can see why you'd weigh it out. But why do I care about Zaki Mechubad? He says, so this is the end point. The Rush says, because the Gemara has a teiku, the Rush wants to say in the end that in general, a chacham should never pick up the comic book. Right? Why? Because it's a suffix of Kavod Torah. Right? What's the status of an usher? Okay? It's a good question. And then he goes into the whole back and forth about what would be the case. Would this apply to an usher as well? Can the usher say, listen, I don't want to pick up this object? And let's say you say yes. So then what's the address of that? Why would that variable work? Why if a guy says, listen, it's beneath my cupboard?
The whole point is to increase rating. One side is going to have a decrease in the way that he feels towards this person, then it's not accomplishing the goal of Shavas Aveda.
Okay, so why don't we say that's also a covered abrios idea? Meaning the idea of like a person's, in other words, a person like, the idea of a person's self-worth and being, appearing, mechubad, right? Of appearing that way. That's also an idea of respecting that about a person. Meaning like this, meaning that it wouldn't be good, it wouldn't be a good expression of covet of Rios to require, if I lost my comic book. And old people don't like comic books, right? Okay. It would be a problem. It would be a dissolution of covet abrios. If I would enforce the zakein, right, having to go pick it up, he's going to feel worse, right?
Yeah, I say a couple of brios and...
He's helping out the other guy, but in doing so, he's feeling worse about it. Okay, so that's why that tension exists. I'm not taking sides. Let me just pinpoint the debate. The question is that when it said, when the Gemara says that a zakein lefikvodo or eino fikvodo can turn away, the question is it talking about, if you learn it as a chacham, but it's much easier if you learn it as simply the chacham. Because you can argue zilzul Torah against this, right? But if you say, if you expand the category, you're walking down a subjective road. Because you're right, it could include many other types of people.
Right,
but that's very nice. But going back to our specific thing, what's the mechanism here? What's the mechanism, the halachic mechanism? So all I want to propose is that what the Gemara is saying is that when it's a chacham, let's just stick with the chacham, when it's enel fikvodo, so it's suspending the iser v'salamtamahem. Meaning what it's saying is that when the chacham walks by, right, so it's like, not using the word matir, but it's taking the Isra of Islamta, right, and it's saying it doesn't apply. Okay, it doesn't apply. Now, if you say that Islamta doesn't apply, it's a suspension, then Abaye has got a very good question. Because what Abaye could say is, if I throw the rock at the animals, right, one second, but I'm a Gavra who's excluded from a Shavas Aveda of these types of things, right? Objects that are below my stature, as a Gavra, I'm excluded from them, right? So therefore, even if he threw the stone, you could say there is no mechanism for him to engage in a Shavas Aveda. Kabashma, it is situational, meaning that the Chacham is suspended, Hislanta is suspended in this situation. But just like anyone else, right, if he acts in a way that demonstrates he's engaging in the Shavas Aveda, i.e. throwing a rock at the animals to help return them, then he's on the hook. Interesting. Your question is, it was a limb of Shurasadin, right? In other words, you could say he threw it because he was being a nice guy, but he knew he would never be chayv in a Shavas Aveda.
Right. Meaning, that was seemingly his alamina.
Right. He was trying. He had no mechanism as a gavra. He couldn't engage with Shavas Aveda. He figured, you know what? I could still be a nice guy. But the maskana is saying, Rabbi is saying, no. You're like any other person. It's not a din in you. It's in the situation. Right? And if you do something that demonstrates you do relate to the object, you're chayv in a Shavas Aveda, like anyone else. Now, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Peches Amon Aleph, right? You don't have to look at it. It's fine. It's one line. It's not even there. Says that no. When this was done at animals, what do they do? And most Rishonim don't learn like Rashi. They learn this way. That what did Abaye do? He threw the rock at the animals, and they were in further away. Okay, so let's say the Shon sheep. That's good.
Okay.
So if you're going to tell me that Abaye, forget the conversation between Abaye and Rava. Abaye throws a rock at the animals. Okay. Now, let's say the animals didn't run away. In this way of learning. So you got to think into this. If they didn't run away, would he be high, according to this way of learning, would he be high in a Shavas Veda? It seems like no, right? It's
no,
only because the throwing...
If it's situational, then it depends on what they...
No, I know, but... No, I agree. I'm saying, so if he threw the rock at them, and let's say... No, see, according to this way of learning, if he threw the rock at them, and he went closer to the guy's house, to Sean's house, he's still not high in a Shavas Veda. He's only high in a Shavas Veda because they're throwing the rock. What happened? They ran further away. You understand? Chaim's onto something. There's something nezek-y about this, right? It smells a nezek, right? But can you put it in the context of a Shavas Aveda? Right? Remember, we talked about in Shavuos, we mentioned briefly the idea of what's the status, in other words, when an object is lost, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say Sean loses his sword. So now the thing is, as long when it's in the forest, it has a definition of being lost, right? Until, right, I walk by it. Once I engage with my eyes and I see the object and I recognize it's Sean's, boom, the object now, so to speak, is found in the sense that now I'm responsible to return that lost object. But it itself is not lost anymore. But if the Chacham walks right by, it retains the status of being lost. This Gemara is taking that and twisting it ever so slightly. Okay? Because think about it for a second. If he throws... What's this Gemara saying? Okay, he found the sheep, right? Now, what does he do? Now, or when he finds the sheep, right? So now, again, using not the matir terminology, but when he finds the sheep, there's a vihisalamta, right? There's an engagement, but what does Halacha say? He's patur, right? Okay, so there's a vihisalamta moment, but he's patur.
But there's also active on the other side.
But if he throws the rocks at the animal and he run away from Sean's house, why would you say now for sure he's chayv in a Shavas Aveda? Why? I want to keep it binary. What I want to say is, I want to use the term lost, but say it a different way. Guys, what I want to say is, when Abaye came across the sheep, okay, he found the sheep, was saying he found the sheep. He found them. He did. He found them. It just happens to be that there's a patur, right? In other words, the objects have been found by Abaye. It's just that, just because they're found doesn't mean now he has to go ahead and do the mitzvah Shavas Veda. And the first way of learning, we were saying that, no, the object retains its status of being lost, which is a very abstract idea. Because it's almost like saying when the Chacham walks by, he sees it, he saw it, right? But it's still lost. That's like a little weird. But why don't we say no? Why don't we say this? It could be the reason why the Rishonim push this way of learning. What they're saying is that, no. Abaye found it. He found the object, right? It just happens to be that halacha doesn't require a tziruf between him and the object, but he found it, right? The object is found. And what's a practical proof? Because Abaye could say to Yehonatan, by the way, do me a favor, I don't involve myself with Sean's swords, but you can, right? Now, what are you going to say? That it's still lost? That's weird. You could, in an abstract way, say that. But practically, you wouldn't say that. But if I encourage it to go away from the guy, then I can argue it's I'm no longer engaging with it. I took it from being found, even though I'm putter, to now giving it a positive shame of being lost. That's why he's chayav in a Shavas Aveda. Meaning, it's like he's it's one thing to say that he's putter from returning the found object. Another thing to say that if he's creating a shame Aveda, then for sure he's chayav to return the object. That's what I want to say. Saying the point is coming across is the patur being a chacham only goes so far. I think that's what they're trying to bring out here. The Rishonim is trying to say is that listen, a chacham can take advantage of this unique thing that he has, right? But he can only go so far. If he's going to create a shame aveda, then he's on the hook. He can't escape that. Yeah. Now, what about now? That leads us to the teiku, right? So now this is, I think, was an easy point. So now the question is the chacham patur from a shabbos aveda because he's going to end up in the city? Or we say he's chayav in Shabbos Aveda because he started in the field. And the field is perfectly, is a good situation for the Chacham to do Shabbos Aveda. So I want to say something very simple. I want to say that it all depends on, this is kind of what Asher was harping on, but what's the relationship between the two we serve? And you said this during Shir, right? Is it, if you look at it, there's a process. So I can say, if any part of the process produces a psul in a Shabbos Aveda, so then he's not chayav in it. Or do I look at discrete steps? There's the not turning away step, and then there's the returning step. And the not turning away step, he can do that. So who cares if later on, if the second step is the problem? That's easy. Yeah, say that. I actually had that possibility. I don't know why I didn't like it. But you could say is that it's a question of in the field, right? In other words, if the chacham would normally return an object he finds in the field, is he still a chacham? No, listen. I'll tell you why. If you say he's still a chacham, right? It's just that now he's chayav to do it. So what I would say is that then who cares if in the city ends up, what do you call it? But if you say that since he knows in the city it's going to be a problem, right? So do we say, I'm sorry, right? Do we say that since he's a chacham, but his status as being a chacham has no applicability in the field, right? So he's like a regular guy, right? So who cares what happens in the future? Or do we say no? Do we say that, no, since we know what happens in the future, he's a chacham to begin with, even though this part of it doesn't require him status. Okay, you could say that. Yeah. Okay. One more point in a teiku. Because it's a teiku, so you have an interesting question. Look at the Russian side. He says, V'yirali keman shepatra Torah sezakin she'en lo lezazel b'chvodo iserhu legabe didei shemezazel l'kava Torah b'mokom she'en chayev. Right, umishum suffik mamon chavero imu mechuyabo lo yizalzal b'suffik iser. So it's interesting. So the Rush takes a very strong stance on this. He says that if you're a chacham, right, there's really no reason why you should ever engage in such an activity. Avoid it at all costs because the threat of zilzal kavatora is there. Interesting. It's interesting. He takes that stand, right? But the Meiri and others disagree with that. Meaning, if you're a posek right now, how would you paskin? In a situation of suffix, what should the chacham do? In other words, what I think the Rush is getting at. See, we've been learning. Guys, this is an important point. We've been learning when it comes to the relationship of zilzal to Shabbos Aveda. So again, the question is like this: Is it that in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda itself, there is a possible expression of zilzal, right? Or do we say no? Do we say that there's two separate institutions, right? And what the Rush is saying is that as long as Zilzal Kavod exists, there's just no mechanism to start up what it called the Shavas Aveda, right? In other words, we can't take the Isser of Zilzal and we're not putting it underneath the rubric of Shavas Aveda. We're keeping it completely separate. So that's what he would say. In a situation of Safek, there's no mechanism to even introduce the idea of a Shavas Aveda. Okay? Whereas others would say no. They would say that The idea of Zizel Kava is coming about because of his Hisaskus in a Shavas Aveda itself. Okay. Now comes Rav Yishmael. Okay. The story was wacky, right? Rav Yishmael, what's the point of the story? Right? What's the point of the story? So Rav Yishmael is facing a quandary, right? He realizes that he's like the rush. He realizes there's a problem if he does prika and ta'ina, right? It's a problem, right? It's mezazos covered, right? So he needs to figure out, how best to avoid it, right? But also, he wants to be able to achieve, and this is the idea of the Mishra Sedin, he wants to be able to achieve the overarching objective of prika and ta'ina, right? Without being mezazos covered. So he accomplishes that. Why? Because what does the guy really want at the end of the day? Right, he wants money, right? He wants the value of these things. That's what he's carrying the wooden town for. He wants the value of the things, right? So I think what that shows you is that again, first of all, Lifnim Mishrosin does not follow halachic road. And not only that, what does it show you about Rabbi Yishmael, right? Midaktik Beatzmo, like the Rambam says, right? This is only something that an individual can work out on their own. There is no mechanism here to create a system whatsoever. You can never systemize what Rav Yishmael did. You can't say in every situation, the guy is so-and-so, this is what you do. You know what I mean? It Lifnim Mishrosin Din requires a certain amount of flexibility and creativity, where a person has to consider how best to bring about the overall perfection of the system, the betterment of man, right? On his own terms, yeah. He's an Akasha Dasa Rush, is sover the Emil Zalzav Kavatarasa. So the Rush is very machmir to say, do not be misal, a Chacham can't do this. He says, Inkein Lama Shilim Rav Yishmael Rav Yossi Lifnim Mishrosin Din. Then why did Rav Yishmael do this? Right? In other words, what's compelling Rav Yishmael to ever do this? Right? Dema Shayach Lifnim Mishrosin Din Kim Mishra Asr Lo Litum. Okay? So, you know, he's not allowed to do it. He's not allowed to be Mizalzal's Kavat. He doesn't have to help the guy out. Don't give me the argument that maybe you'll say that he didn't want, since he was Rav Yishmael, he'd be getting hana from Kavatara. So what he learns the case as is that not that Rav Yishmael wasn't acting in his capacity as a chacham, he wants to say that he was haya nichbad milvad taraso. Uvazel haya shaper shayach l'chay v'l'shalam v'tem v'shoseden. Kevin the mutal olitan. Right? So it wasn't a zilzul Kavatara, rather what was it? It's like a political thing. Rav Yishmael was like a very important guy in the political world. He was Karv L'Machlis, right? He was, the treasurer, right? So a treasurer doesn't pick up, wooden sticks. But that's because of Kavah Brios. That's not because of Zilzul Kavah Torah. Meaning, if it was Zilzul Kavah Torah, Rav Yishmael would never have done this. Okay? So I don't know if that would, I don't know, last point. Remember, in the case of the Mara Dinar, in the baseball card case, so there... There is no, in other words, what did Rav Chiya do? He followed the idealized form of halacha. But here, what's the problem? There's no idealized form of halacha to follow, because what do you have? In other words, if he followed the idealized form, which would be to help carry the wood, what would that do, though? That produces zilzal. So, you see, he's able to ditch, so to speak, the normative halachic way, and still fulfill the overarching objective of making people like each other more. Okay? Okay, so then we get to Brachos Mem Hei Amabez. Now this is a hard case, right? Because this changes, that's what I like about this case, even though it's hard, it changes our scenery, Mem Hei Amabez. Because what does the Gemara tell us? So we know that two people should not bench together, meaning they shouldn't have a fake zimun, right? And then the Gemara says that a general principle. Now we didn't. I don't know if we took this up in detail, but we have a general principle, okay? If three people are eating together, right, and let's say two want to bench and one doesn't, the two can impose their will on the one to bench. But if one wants to bench, the other two do not, the one cannot impose his will on the two. Why? So ostensibly, the reason why is, Rashi says, it's derech eretz, right? Good behavior. Derech eretz, the proper way to behave is, one can't beat out two, but two can beat out one. Now, to be clear, Rabbeinu Yonah and other Rishonim hold that no, that it's actually a halacha, meaning if the two can impose on the one, and it's a chiyah for the one to respond to that. That the next step in the Gemara was the story of Rapapa, where it was two against one, meaning Rapapa and his buddy were eating. They were fine. Let's say Yehonatan was there. He wanted to leave. And Rapapa said, you know what? You're like my nephew. I kind of feel bad. So he switches sides. So Rapapa switches sides. He joins Yehonatan against the one. And the Gemara says, why? How can he do that? Lifnim Mishrosin Din. So why is that an expression of the Mishra Sadin? In other words, the idea of the two versus one, forget Derech Eretz for a second, the idea of the versus one makes a lot of sense because you could say two people have a quality of Zimun present, right? Well, once you have more than one person, you can't say there's no social experience whatsoever. It's just defective. So bringing in the third guy completes the Zimun, okay? But what does that show you, though? It shows you that what's the Mechayev of Zimun? Why does Zimun emerge? Zimun emerges from the idea of people eating together being a different type of experience, the social experience, okay? There's a certain amount of goodwill built up during a meal where friends eat with each other. And to celebrate that in some way, so you give a special shevach to God, nivarech shachana mishlo, you create a tzir. In other words, you take the psychological slash sociological tzir that already exists, but not halachically, you take that and give it halachic tzura. That's benching, okay? Yes, capitalize on it. So what did Rav Papa see? Rav Papa saw in this situation that if this that Yehonatan is going to is going to be very upset. He's going to be very upset about it, and it's going to endanger, right, the feeling of goodwill this meal had, right? You don't want Yehonatan saying, "Oh, you know, I really got to go. I'm late for my appointment, etc." So Rav Papa felt that, you know what, to save the core idea, the core objective, right, the core concept of, you see, this is more of a fund. This is a foundational idea. This is saying the foundation of the halacha is social goodwill, is like, you know, feeling good about eating with each other, and then Lacha builds off of that. He wants to retain that. It would be very bad to have a Zimun where the meal ends, where Yehonatan is participating, but begrudgingly, okay, in some way. That's not good. It's not good. We want people to all get along in the meal. Came up in Shir. You'd have to say that the other guy's cool with it. You know what I mean? The third guy. Right. Agreed. By the way, that's exactly a raya why this is in that vague lift and mishra shadin category. Because you'd have to say that Rav Papa had to calculate out, and obviously if in joining his son it turns out the third guy was really upset, that wouldn't work. That would not work. That leads us to Bava Metzia Pei Gimel and Aleph. So this is the hardest of all the cases. Okay, I think this gave us this really gives us the hardest time. But now we could slow down a little bit and really take apart some specifics in the case. So what's this case? Okay. All right, so it starts off by saying that Rav Chiya came up with a pshara, okay? Because there are situations where, let's say I hire Gano to do a job for me, okay? Now Gano's on the fence, okay? Because it's to carry two barrels of scotch, and Gano could do it himself, but it would be probably easier, maybe even smarter, if you had two people carry it, right? But with this special pole technique, right, the north-south pole technique, you could pull it off, okay? And what happens? You do it, and the barrels break. So the Rav Chiya came up with some sort of takana here, a pshara, where he said in that situation where he's carrying it north-south, right? So what's the halach? Halach is you owe him half. You'd owe Chaim half of the money of the scotch. Now, what's the rationale? So Gemara says, well, it's a little bit of pshia and a little bit of ones, a little bit of negligence, a little bit of things that he couldn't control. So the best thing to come out of this is a pshara. Great. But of course, if Gano did it in a way where it was clearly negligent, I don't care why, but if he held it this way, right, that's negligence, then he's on the hook. Okay, fine. And now, that's not so crazy, because there, what we want to say, which I think is a very basic idea, is that halacha has two types of standards. Pshia is one standard, right? And ones is the other standard. And those are mutually exclusive. You cannot be both a poshea and an ones. When the Gemara says it doesn't really mean that. You cannot be both, but be both not responsible and irresponsible. It can't be. But what he recognizes is that in this situation, since there's a gray area, since halacha doesn't really know what's fair to do, so what do? We make sure everyone's a little bit happy, okay? Classic pshara, a little bit happy. Meaning we're not trying to mitzarev together pshia and ones, we're just trying to produce, again, the overall goodwill that exists in commerce to make sure that Gano's is upset, but not too upset, and Chaim also is upset, but not too upset, yeah. Okay, now you got Rabba. Okay, now this is the hard story. So what happens? So Rabba, okay, so Gano hires Chaim and Sean to move some barrels of scotch. Now Sean and Chaim, through complete negligence, not even a question, what do? They break the barrels of scotch. It was in Pashia. Again, it wasn't Mazid, but it was Pashia. Now Gano comes along and says, you know what? Give me the shirts off your backs. Because when you ask to get paid back for the barrels they broke, they had no money in them. So you say, you know what, fine, so give me the shirts that are on your back. Okay? What do? They go running to to Rav. Rav says, No. Gano, you can't take their shirts. Give them their shirts back. Fine. That's stage one. And why? Because it says, Laman Telech v'derech tovim. Then the Gemara says, round two, Sean and Chaim are like, well, listen, we're very poor, right? Gano, pay us for the day's work, okay? And Gano's like, that's insane. I'm not going to pay you for day's work. You didn't do the job. It's crazy, right? And they cry to Rob. And Rob says, right, right. And Rob says, you got to pay them the money. He says, well, what do you mean? Dina Hachim? No, no. And he doesn't say the Mishur Sadeh. He says, the Orcho Sadechim Tishmor. Okay? Okay, now let's put Tosos to the side for a second. We have to look in Tosos today. That's what I want to focus on. But at this, let's call this Lefdem Mishur Sadeh to make it easier. So what I want to propose, was that when it comes, in other words, of course, Sean and Zifkin are chayev financially, right? To Gano, that's not even a question. But the fact is that when it comes to Tashlumen, there's two characteristics that Tashlumen can have. There could be restorative, okay? Restitution. That's normal, okay? I break Sean's sword, right? I pay him back for the sword. That's restitution. But there are times where Tashlumen is also punitive. In Halacha, right? Kefel. That's a type of kanas. That's a punishment, a punitive. Here in this situation, what's the problem? The problem is that Gano, in trying to take their shirts, is taking something that should be a restitution and expressing it as a punitive. So that's what Rav senses. Rav realizes that for them, and it's taking the shirts off their backs. It's like humiliating, and I don't know, whatever things you want attached to it. So he says, Laman telach dorach tovim, okay? But then the second answer, what's the second case? The second case is to actually pay them, right? To pay them for the work. How can you pay them for the work? So I want to suggest, that's because we sometimes fail to realize, it's very tempting to consider Pshia. We look at Pshia like Mazen. We do, okay? It's a very 21st century thing. It comes from being in a society that loves to sue. So we look at negligence as being basically not just Karvel Mazid, but Mazid, right? When it comes to someone being negligent, we forget very easily that it's still in the area of Shogeg, right? It's not that Chaim and Sean wanted to break the barrels, right? Okay, they were sloppy, they were stupid, they were incompetent, but they didn't want, to do such a thing. That wasn't their intention. So it could be what he's saying is that the problem is that, of course, if Chaim and Sean had money, right, there'd be no reason for Gano to give them the money for the day. But here it is, you have two guys who are poor. Again, notice, again, but the act of not paying them would be destructive, okay? It would destroy goodwill, right? We would never want to extrapolate from this to other cases, because that would mean in any case where the guys don't do the right job, that they could ask for money. No. In this case, the mechanism that exists, this is within Din. It's Shogeg. And because it's Shogeg, there is an idea for him to say, you know what? They didn't do him amazing. So I can see paying them for the day's work. Recognizing that, yeah, they were very klutzy, but ultimately it wasn't amazing. So I think that's what he's working off of in the second thing. That's why the Gra notes, we'll get to the larger issue, which is that why the Gemara uses different psukim. We're going to take up that Tosos. We didn't look at the Tosos inside. But the Gra is very shrewd. The Gra says that's why there's two psukim here. See, the first one, the average person can understand the idea of restitution versus punitive payment, tashlumin. But this second idea, pshia, paying a guy a day's labor, that's something the average person can never see. That's an orchot tzadikim. In other words, that's why the Gemara focuses on the tzadik, because the reality is that for someone to be on that level, so to speak, that's like, when you hear this case, you think it's crazy. The first one you don't think is so crazy. The second one you think is crazy. So the Gemara's like, yeah, you're right. That's why the Gemara says, Laman of Orcho Tzadikim Tishmor, because the tzaddik, he's a person who would actually do something like that. No, it's, I know, no, one second. That's channeling the Rambam. Okay?
Well, yeah.
Rabba is the Chacham. Rabba is saying, the law is so-and-so. Okay? That's how the legal mind thinks. The Rav is coming along and saying, that's what Rav has to come along and teach him. Rav along is coming along and saying, you're right. Of course. Okay, you're right. So the Rambam's extrapolating from this that that's the whole point. A person has to be medactic on himself. And maybe he wasn't. He's not criticized. You can't be criticized for not doing Lefdem Mishur Sadeh. But it could be the certain areas of greater improvement that he wasn't in touch with. He wasn't in tune with it. I biased it for a reason. This is the most extreme case because the Gemara itself doesn't darshan out from the normal pasuk of the Mishra Sadin. And Tosos picks up on that. Tosos is very upset about this. Tosos says, look at Tosos. I don't know if you guys, we didn't do this in Shir. Right? Tosos says, Lama Kuf Amad Aleph. He says the Hach. He says Lefnei Mishur Sadin. Right. In other words, in Bava Kama, we learn that from the Hodata Lahem. Right, but he says the Hach Brisa Maisi Nami Parakim Lemitzias Gabi Zakim Elvikodo. Right, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef Nimishros Adin Avon, etc. He says, but we see two times where Nimishros Adin is mentioned. They learn it out from Pasuk X. Okay, but here, right, in our case, we just did Avavaso Paraka Umnim Gabi Rabbi Baruch Rav Huna. Da da da. What do we learn out from Elamaisi Laman Telech Bederach Tovim? So how could it be? How could it be that why would the Gemara learn it out from a different pasuk? Okay, why don't you stick with the Hodata Lahem? So listen to this. So he gives two pshatim. Okay, you can work on this. So the first answer is he says the Re. One second, I got lost. Oh yeah, the Re wants to say Orleans. He wants to say the Lo Shayach Lifnim Mishur Asadin Ella Bedaver Shachirim Chayovin Vizeh Pater Kimo Rav Chia Dehacha Rav Yisrael Rav Yosi Beilam Mitzias Aval Beahi De Rav Bar Rav Huna Ein Chiluk Bein Olvein Achirim. Okay? Wait a second. What's the Re's answer? What's his answer? It's a great answer on the surface. In other words, okay. What Tosos is saying is that both of them are Lefnim Mishur Sadin. But why learn out from different psukim? Oh, because there's two scenarios of Lefnim Mishur Sadin. The first scenario is where I'm putter, right? There's your chayef, I'm putter. But what do I do? Nonetheless, even though I'm putter, I engage in it. That's version one. What's the other kind? The other kind is where, like this case, the case by Rabbah, where no one's chayiv, right? It's not like Rabbah was. There's no. It's not like your putter and Rabbah's chayiv or Rabbah's putter. Your chayiv. No one at all in any way is chayiv or putter in this case. There's no chiv or patur to speak of. So that's why the Gemara has to cite a different pasuk. So in the Re's answer, he's saying that in version A. Right, the normative lifnim mishur sadin is where there's a chiyah patur situation, but there's another situation that could exist where there's no chiyah patur whatsoever. That's a different kind of lifnim mishur sadin. You guys need to explain that. But Tosfos says no. He rejects this, right? And then he says in the end, he says bava kama kufam an alf. And the last few lines says v'yesh lomar. He says dibahanu shikulai lo shayach lifnim mishur sadin. This is a very reasonable answer by Tosos. Reasonable, but yet hard. Because Tosos says, no. The case is by the dinar and the pre-kantina. Those are all of them Mishra Sedin. But this case here, right, what does this case have that those cases did not have? This says Pshia, right? And when it comes to negligence, okay, it is very difficult to ever suggest that if Nim Mishur Sadin would work in a case of negligence. That's impossible. But then what's this case? He doesn't say what the case is. All he says is, this is not Lifnim Mishur Sadin. Now we're stuck. So what's that again? So we'll leave this for tomorrow. What's the machlokas? The Re says that, well, there's two expressions of Lifnim Mishur Sadin. There's one is where there's the Chiyah Patur existing, and the other one is there's no Chiyah Patur. The Tosa says, rejects that, says, no. There's Lifnim Mishur Sadin. But there are some situations where, like in a Pshia, Lifnim Mishur Sadin wouldn't apply. So let me ask you a question. If it didn't apply, then what exactly is motivating Rabbah to act in such a way? And Chaim, this strengthens your question. How could Rav tell him it's Dina, that it's the Din? What Din? He's not even doing Lifnim Mishur Sadin here. He's doing something else. What is he doing? What is he doing here if it's not Lifnim Mishur Sadin? All right, we'll answer this tomorrow and finish up the sugya.